I mentioned 2 weeks ago that at the Ascension that it's a mystery. And I then said to you that when we use the word mystery, it just means that we can't explain it. Then last week we had Pentecost, which was much less of a mystery, really. And this week we have the Holy Trinity. Now, the Holy Trinity falls square bang in the middle of mystery. As Saint Augustine said, if you think you know God, you think you understand God, then that's not God. So understanding the mystery, which is not a cop-out because I find it too hard to explain, understanding the mystery of the Trinity is part of our Christian nature. We get a little bit confused sometimes. We simply don't understand all that there is to understand about God. And I say once again, that's not a cop-out. If I used, for example, the metaphor that Pope Benedict, when he was Pope Benedict, what he used incense as the metaphor. He was saying that we use incense in the church, certainly, so that it's a symbol of our prayers rising. But he also said that the incense is supposed to fog our view, to blur what's in front of us, so that the mystery remains. I really like that. So the incense rising around, we incense the altar, we incense the gospel, we incense the priest and the people. And it blurs our vision to some degree. We know that they are there, but it's changed. Not in its substance or its nature, it's just changed the way that we look at it. And incense does that. Fulton Sheen, when he tried to talk about the Trinity and understanding or to get an understanding where we could unblur it a little bit so we could just understand it a bit more, he used 2 very simple metaphors. One was water. He said, do you remember the table for water, H2O? Remember that? In its nature, its very substance, it is water. However, it has the appearance, or can have the appearance, as ice, as something that flows, or as steam. But in its essence, the very thing that makes it H2O, it is still water. The sun is another one he used as an example. We have the sun. In its substance, it is a star on fire. But in its very, very substance, it is what it is. It is the sun. But it also has heat and it has light. Yet it is still the one thing, the sun. Do you understand where I'm going? It's the one thing, as I said, with water. And so it is with God, understanding God in terms of the Trinity. Now, the word Trinity comes from 2 Latin words, tri, of course, meaning, or tre, meaning three, and then unus, meaning the one. Three in one. Trinity. That's where it comes from. And we as Christians look and live our life with God, understanding that God in his very nature is one, yet God expresses his life, his very existence, in the language that we use, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. St. Patrick used the example of the shamrock. It is one leaf, but it has 3 little leafettes. I don't know what you call those things on the shamrock. They can be leafettes tonight. But there are 3 components that make the one leaf of a shamrock, and that's what he used. And that makes sense in a simple sort of way. But when we start to theologize or spiritualize about the Trinity, the incense rises and it gets very blurry because it's just too much for us to grasp. And that's why St. Augustine said, if you think you understand the Trinity, if you think you understand God, then that's not God. Because God cannot be grasped as simply as a shamrock. Now, some of us in this day and age find that very challenging because we like to know all the answers. We like to have it all together. Well, our faith does not allow us to have it all together. The mystery of our faith allows us to live in hope for something that we cannot see, yet we believe. And depending on the world in which you're living, where your world is at, that belief may well change a bit for you. I look at tonight's gospel, John's the last part of a conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, a very faithful Jew who is coming to understand who Jesus is. But if you read that short reading again from John's gospel, four times the word world gets mentioned, and four times the word believe gets mentioned. What is going on in your world will affect your belief. I firmly believe that. So I went back and looked at John's gospel, because I've got loads of time. And he uses the word the world 79 times in John's gospel. So the world was a big part of why he wrote things the way he did at that time. In Matthew's gospel, the word the world gets mentioned 9 times, and in Mark and in Luke, they both mention the world 3 times. Something was going on in John's world that affected his understanding of who God was and how that relationship with God is being lived out. John's is the youngest of our Gospels, therefore his community lived through being faithful Jews, practicing their faith in the synagogue, then also following Christ and breaking the bread and feeding the poor, to eventually, by about 80 AD, eventually being thrown out of the synagogue. They knew what it was to be exiled, in a sense. So their world shifted from something which they knew quite comfortably to something where they were seen as a troublesome minority. And in the middle of all of that, of course, we know that Jerusalem was levelled by Titus. So there was great hostility. And even by the time John put his gospel together, many of his community had said, I don't think I really believe this, it's all too hard. And they started to walk away. And so he had internal problems as well. But what it did for John, it allowed him to refine his understanding of who God is. And that's probably where we join in with John. We try to refine our understanding of who God is. And we can look at shamrocks, and we can look at water, and we can look at the sun, and we may get some glimpse, some little inkling, but we will not get it all. It is impossible for us. The only thing that we can truly hang on to that will give us our security with God is knowing that God is love. Everything else is an extra and may well lead to confusion. If God is love, I say to you, then that means there is a lover. And then there is the beloved, the one who is loved. We have a lover because God is love. The beloved, the one who receives the love, the beloved. And then that action of God loving the beloved is the Holy Spirit. So there are three parts to it as I see it. God who loves, God who is the receiver of that love, and God who brings others into that love. And that's the movement of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we say we are people of the Spirit. God is in us. Jews and Muslims pray to a God out there. Christians pray to a God who is in us because the Spirit is in us and we are people of the Spirit. Now, I hope that makes it a little easier for you. but it's not the place in a sermon to get all theological. That just confuses people more. It is the place in the sermon to try to ground a mystery that is so vast into the complexity of what my life is here and now. And the most basic thing that exists in my life here and now is what I'm going to call relationship. In the church language, I'll call it communion. God is love, given. To believe in God is to be in a relationship with him or her, is to be in a relationship. And those who believe, as our gospel says, they are in communion with God and with each other. And so I don't have to write a thesis on it. What I've got to do in my life is actually live it. And that is the source of my security for all my doubts. Do as he asked me to do. That's all I have to do. Live with the mystery and the pain of not knowing, but know that in my belief and my shadowy unbelief at times, I am in communion, I am in relationship with God who is love. St. Paul finishes up by saying, the grace. Grace is from the charis, the word charis, which means, in the Greek language, it means, I am the best that I can be. That's what grace means. So he goes, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the best of whatever I can be in my life, the love of God and the fellowship, or communion is a koinonia is the word, so communion is a better translation, of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.